This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Halflings! It's me! Ha! Olivia Kennedy! And I'm joined today by...
Hey! There, it's Jeremy Cobb. Hey. But Nicholas C. Wilson calls me the Cobbler. For how much work I do to make sure boots are on the ground and everyone can enjoy the wonderful commentary that we share. That was the explanation that Nicholas gave.
That is extremely, extremely wholesome, and I really like it. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, that was actually very wholesome, Nicholas. Thank you very much, Nicholas.
Yeah.
We are already off to a very woozy start. You love to see it. We are here. We are going...
I'm fine.
For full disclosure, we are recording this directly after the Minecraft episode, and we are fully carrying that energy over into this.
Which... we assume is now the infamous Minecraft episode.
man. Round two, everybody. Here we go. We're going to be just doing some dueling soapboxes.
When you say dueling, what do you mean by that?
Either I can give a soapbox or you can give a soapbox, and the other person will then respond with their own soapbox.
Okay. And we're supposed to say...
and we can just keep going back and forth until we've run out of will to live.
Okay, great. Done. Too late. No, I'm kidding.
All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in.
But okay. So does it have to be a different soapbox every time? Cause I can't do that. I can't do it. Is it on the same topic each time?
Well, you can, if you want, we can just go real hard in on one soapbox each and just talk about each one and explore it. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Okay. I think that might be a good idea because I've got a lot to say about my one.
Okay. Should we roll initiative to see who shares?
Sure. Stuff? I mean, okay. Yeah, no, totally. I went last time, but no, it's completely fine. Yeah, no, that's completely fine. That's absolutely fine. Yeah, no,
okay, no. Fine, Liv. I can go first.
No, you promised the people initiative. Liv... I'm finding a D20. You can't stop me. You promised the people rollies, and now we're doing it. So,
Liv, or sorry, not Liv, Chloe, if you listen to this, tell me, is this normal? Is this normal Liv behavior? Are we seeing the full Liv?
I know what Chloe would say, and they would say yes with a very resigned sigh. So there we go.
I'm honored to get this glimpse behind the curtain.
I've got so many chocolate eggs from D&D premiere, and I've got no dice. I'm getting dice. 1 second. Stay there.
Was that from the after party? All right, I'm gonna stay here. I'm gonna talk to you all for a moment, and ask you, which do you prefer? Do you prefer cats or do you prefer dogs? Now I know this is an age old question. I'm not here to hate on either cats or dogs. I actually love both.
Unless you want to do a different dice.
Just to finish what I was saying, I generally prefer dogs to cats, but I love them both.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. When I say prefer, I mean, I get more joy when like hanging out with dogs, but I do love them both. Right. Let's roll then.
Yeah. I think dogs. Yes. Okay. Let's do that. Liv, do you want to roll?
Yeah. Huh. Wait, that was cocked. Huh. Okay. I've rolled. Wait a minute. We have to establish. Wait.
Okay.
Is Haya who gets to pick or is Haya's best? So they get to choose.
Oh, yeah. Higher. Oh, that's a good point.
Because we're just rolling.
I was going to say higher goes first.
Well, that's just the, lower goes first.
Because in normal initiative, first. You don't then get to choose.
Lower goes first.
Lower goes first. So what I understand here is, Liv, that you rolled something very low. Or you're right. You rolled something very high, and you're hoping
I'll re-roll first. Right now, Jeremy. Have you rolled?
Yeah. I got a 12.
Okay. Do you want me to re-roll?
Nah, you can keep what you had before.
Fine. I'm 14. Cool, it's you. You go first. I gave you the option, and here we are. Okay? So...
I'm happy with it. This is so unhinged.
Oh, dear.
So, there's a couple of topics that I could talk about. Mm. I was going to let you choose which one you would most like to hear about.
Okay.
Liv. So,
beach power.
One of the topics is the Beach Boys. I am a big fan of that band.
Yeah.
I could talk for a long time about what I like about the Beach Boys and why I think they were a really good band.
Okay.
Another topic that I could talk about would be dogs. I'm also a big fan of dogs, and I could talk for a while about dogs and canines in general.
It has to be dogs. I'm really sorry for anyone who wanted to hear about the Beach Boys, but I can't not talk about dogs when the opportunity is brought to me. What am I, some kind of cat?
Oh!
That's right.
Them's fighting words, Liv.
Yeah.
Yeah, all them cat people out there.
Cat Twitter's gonna be real mad. cat TikTok, all of them.
at you saying that, the cat has emerged from her hiding place and is now blinking sleepily and looking around.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. Like, don't get me wrong. Cats are, like, definitely some form of god. So, like, they, you know, they know things, you know? And so I don't want to cross them, but also, you know, you're going to deal with that regardless, no matter what you do. So.
Yes, so, you know. Very true. Mm-hmm. They are there to be crossed.
Exactly.
But dogs. So, dogs... my understanding historically is that dogs were the first animal that humans domesticated. Yeah. It's thought that, I mean, there's a lot of different theories, but at least one of them is that it started with wolves noticing like human settlements and stealing food from the outskirts of human settlements and like humans giving food to the wolves. And the wolves are like, oh, this is cool. This is a good arrangement. And then we start to let the wolves come in and live with us. And then you fast forward and now we have pugs.
The superior alpha male of the canine world, the pug.
Yes. Well, this is actually something that's worth mentioning as well. So this the idea of alphas and omegas and betas in wolf/dog pack society
is fake,
is
right?
Actually, yes, it's based entirely on one study that has since been debunked. You can have dogs that will have, on average, more, like, debunked by the creator, by the way, by the guy who published the study. He came back, he's like, yeah, nah, that's mainly based around which the dogs were older, as it turns out. Like, the wolves, the older wolves tended to have more authority than the younger ones, and I completely misread that. They're
but
not
you have, like-
very strict...
You have like pickup artists, like TikTokers, just like no, bro, no. The alpha male exists. Sigma pros are here. Yeah. So they don't want you to take that back.
Yeah, yeah. Wolf packs. My understanding is that both dog and wolf society is relatively hierarchical. Like there are still more dominant personalities within a pack, but it is not like say lions. where like the male lion is the head and everybody's behind him. It's also not like a lot of primate societies, which is, I mean, I guess there's hope for those bros, because as it turns out, humans aren't wolves. Humans are not canines. We're actually primates. And chimpanzees and gorillas have very clearly defined social structures. In the case of gorillas, it's of course the oldest and most powerful male. In the case of chimpanzees, it's like an endless Game of Thrones where they will like form alliances with each other and kill each other, and it's like shockingly brutal and vicious.
I hope they're not out there red wedding each other. I would love it if that wasn't the case with the gorillas.
Yeah. The gorillas are the gorillas like will have conflicts and stuff, but it's not as brutal as chimpanzee society.
Okay.
Yeah. Like there's a David Attenborough series called Dynasties, and in that series, he has like every single episode focuses on a different society of animals, there's an episode that specifically focuses on chimpanzees, and it starts with our protagonist having been the victim of an assassination attempt, and he is missing several appendages after this vicious attack, and they left him he was attacked by a coalition of other male chimpanzees who wanted to get him out of the leadership position, and so they tried to kill him.
Fuckos.
Chimps, by the way, are different to most other animals when they attack you. Most other animals, if they're attacking you, if they're trying to kill you, they will like deliberately go for like your neck or your belly or something like that. Chimpanzees will fight to maim. So they will go for your face. They'll go for your hands. They'll go for your feet. They'll go for your genitals. That is what chimps do. Chimps are hardcore. And
my
this
legs
dude
just immediately closed up. Just
yeah, it's rough. And so he had been the victim of one such attack, but he had survived. And like the opening is him like waking up after having been left for dead by his troop.
Oh my God.
And he goes back and finds them and reclaims his place.
Good for him.
Yeah, and like I think he gets his own group together of like allies, and they defeat the other coalition, and he reclaims the leadership of the chimpanzee troop. But that's chimp society. Anyway, dogs, frankly, canines in general, not nearly as brutal as primates can tend to be. Certainly not chimps. Chimps are psychos, man. People will say like, oh, what's worse, getting dropped into a chimp enclosure or a gorilla enclosure? 110% chimps. 110%. It's like legitimately bad.
It's so scary.
Yeah. Anyway, back to dogs. So wild dogs, African wild dogs actually are some of the most successful large hunters in Africa, like in the African continent. Lions, their success rate is not that high. Hyenas actually have a very good success rate as well. But wild dogs, I think, have the best success rate of all of the large African predators.
Why is that?
Because they can run forever.
Forever?
They can. It's like humans. Humans have a really good success rate when we use our when we use our hunting strategy of chasing things until they fall over. Wolves and African painted dogs are both faster than us and can also run for a very, very long time. And so what they will do, the difference with African painted dogs is they will start to bite things as they run. Actually, wolves use a similar strategy where they will bite stuff to try and induce bleeding. And then the thing will hopefully collapse or be unable to run, and then they will descend upon it. Yes. The downside of getting hunted by African painted dogs is because...
I assume there are many.
well, yes, there are many. But if you had to pick between getting hunted by a lion or getting hunted by an African painted dog, the good news about a lion is that they will kill you first. The bad news about African painted dogs is because lions are not as successful at hunting, they like to steal their kills. And the lions are huge compared to African painted dogs, as are hyenas, and can successfully steal their kills. And so to avoid that, they will eat you before you die. And that's not good. That's not good. Do not look up that videos of them hunting unless you want to see some stuff that you never thought you were going to see.
Okay. I mean, I went through a roller coaster of like curiosity and then complete and utter horror. And then like, yeah, no, okay. I'm not going to have a look.
Yeah, it's, ooh. But here's the thing. Even within that, in contrast to lions, where the biggest and strongest eat first, African painted dogs have the weakest eat first. They have the puppies and those who are elderly and sick, they have them eat first.
So they're pinning down the thing that is not yet dead. They're like, come here, little puppy, come and get a little nibble.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's still standing. It's rough. It's rough.
Okay. All right.
It's rough out there. Okay. Even some of the thumbnails, honestly. But yes, they will invite the puppies in to eat first.
African.
Are you looking up? Are you looking up videos of them hunting right now?
No.
Okay. Look at the puppies, though. Some of the cutest puppies you will ever see in your life.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, African painted dogs are not the same as domesticated dogs. They are separate from wolves. They have a different number of toes. Their anatomy is different.
How many toes do they
have? I think they have more toes than wolves. I think they branched off before wolves. Like, I think from the shared canine ancestor or canid ancestor, I think they branched off first or branched off before wolves.
Puppies, they have such big ears, the puppies.
Oh, they're so cute. They are so cute. If you find the really, really little ones with the chubby bellies, it's absurd. Like, they are illegally cute. They have big heads, chubby little bellies, and tiny little legs.
Little guys. Yeah. Sorry, I'm vomiting from how cute. Apologies. every time I like, it's me and Jasper particularly, we both just vomit at each other. Not literally, but we will make that noise at each other, and then we forget that that's an appealing to other people.
Yeah, it's for some people, it's actually audience. Very, like, it makes them want to puke.
Yeah, sorry.
But unfortunately, African painted dogs do not make good pets. They are not good options for domestication. They have, like, an intrinsic fear of humans. Part of the issue here is that humans have lived in Africa for a really, really, really long time. And so they have figured out, like, the ones that weren't afraid of us died. And so African painted dogs do not do well with humans. They also, they don't slot into human societies well at all. Wolves can be slotted into human societies, like the human social structure. African painted dogs do not do well in those circumstances. They need other dogs, other African painted dogs specifically. They are also, I think, closer to being obligate carnivores than wolves are, I think. So, like, diet-wise, it's not a great deal. Anyway, don't try and adopt one. It would be illegal if you did, but don't do
it. Yeah, it would be legal.
No, it would be illegal even if you did.
Okay, good.
But there are people out there who go out and try and find, you know what I mean.
Don't do that. Yeah,
don't do it. It's bad for the dogs.
Not good. Yeah. Not good at all.
But they are really, really cool. They also don't bark. Mm-hmm. They make, like, high-pitched chirping and like, other sounds like that. And, like, chittering sounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they sound like cuties, but also dangerous.
Yeah. So, they're very, very cute, very, very pretty animals, very, very cool social structure. They make decisions as a group. They will all vote. It's like they will literally... I think they sneeze. I think it's like they sneeze, and depending on whether they get enough sneezes, they will make the decision. I think that's not me making that up. I'm pretty sure they actually vote using sneezes.
God, sneezy little guys making votes. Oh,
yeah, they're really cool.
Every time I ask Biscuit a question and he sneezes, I'll be like, okay, that is a yes, or that is a no. Yeah.
Well, remember, he's more of a wolf than he is an African painted dog.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so.
Well, I do like the idea of tiny little wolf in my house. Although I do like the idea, especially, of him being a little cryptid, because he looks like a little cryptid. Yeah. So that's good for me. Yeah.
He does actually look like, he looks like some sort of canine cryptid, for sure.
Yeah, no, I want to do a TikTok video of him, of it being like, oh, so you've brought home your first cryptid. Make sure to let them out at the dead of night so they can hunt.
I love that. Do not make eye contact while they feed, or you will forever lose your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you ignite the anger of a cryptid, make sure to leave an offering at their... What's it called?
At their altar? outside of their lair?
At the altar of choice and the outside their lair. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I need to workshop it, but it's
look, it's all part of the it's part come back tune back in next time for more Cobb and Kennedy podcast. It'll be part of the podcast when we
exactly.
Yeah.
The goof the straight goofing podcast.
Yeah, straight goofing. That's the name of the show. Straight goofing. So that's a little bit about African painted dogs, about wolves. So, wolves and dogs specifically, obviously, domesticated wolves, they share a huge amount with them genetically. They're basically kind of sort of the same, except dogs display a feature that is known as neoteny, which is, it occurs often in domestication. It is when an animal retains juvenile traits into adulthood.
Okay.
So traits like floppy ears, shorter snouts. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the case of canids, I think it tends to be like a friendliness as well, because puppies, baby animals tend to be very friendly, at least baby mammals tend to be very friendly and playful, and they retain that into adulthood. Wolves can be friendly, but they do not have floppy ears. Their snouts get longer. There are changes that occur. A famous case of neoteny that is not domesticated, that has not been brought on by domestication, rather, is the axolotl. The axolotl is actually the juvenile form of a salamander, just grown up into looking like an adult, but still with the gills.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So if you look at a juvenile salamander, they look exactly like axolotls. And actually, under certain circumstances, axolotls will metamorphose into adult forms.
Okay, so like, just at some point in their adult lives, they'll just be like, whoop.
Yeah, sometimes. Most of them, no, but every once in a while.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so that's a case of like wild neoteny. We're not sure exactly what causes that.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Same thing with like pigs, domesticated pigs, if you release them, will revert to being feral and will grow fur over their bodies and start to look like boars.
How does that happen?
It's like something, it's basically like the genes, I'm guessing is that like certain genes will only express themselves under certain circumstances. And so if a wild pig is domesticated, if a domesticated pig is being cared for, then it retains its domesticated qualities. But if it is like set free and has to make its own way, it will go feral and will start to look like a boar.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is probably not the case, but I'm just wondering, hypothetically, if I were to run into the forest and become the wild woman I've always wanted to be, would I shift into something else?
No, because humans are just kind of like this.
Oh, that's a bit boring.
I mean, what you probably would notice is that like your sense of hearing would probably get more attuned because you have to rely on it more. You would probably get a lot more athletic than you'd ever been. Like you would...
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like because you'd be probably running around all the time, walking a lot. You would like your muscles would probably get stronger overall. What your stomach and digestive system is used to would have to shift. Obviously, I think, yeah, my understanding is that living out there, because you have to be more alert, you would then those skills would develop.
Okay, maybe I should move to the woods. That's interesting. I thank you for this information. Very good.
Yeah, no problem. But you would not like metamorphose into like a pre-human ancestor, like some kind of like early hominid. You would remain a human being. You would remain a Homo sapien.
Okay. Well, you know, it couldn't be. You know, it would have been a perfect world if that were the case. If I could just shift, but it's fine. It's fine. Mm. You know, just like sometimes you want to live out your, you know, when I was young, was I a wolf girl? Maybe, you know, maybe I want to just be a wolf girl.
Were you a feral child, Liv? Did you live for like several years on your own in the wilderness?
Well, I mean, who could really say? I don't remember much until, I don't think I gained sentience until I was like 14. So maybe, maybe.
You have no memories before your 14th birthday?
No memories. Who could say what happened? I don't know. People told me I was good in school. So maybe, Maybe.
These people who looked like me told me they were my parents. Yeah. I knew how to speak English. I'm not sure how.
Actually, so my mum is white and Irish, and my stepdad is white and Welsh. So technically, they don't super look like me. So like, I could have just like woken up in a place and they've been like, yeah, no, that we're your parents. And I'm like, okay, sure. I just believe them. Look, maybe. To be fair, me and my mum have a similar face, so,
you know. Okay, so you actually do look like your mom.
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, we have a similar face. Is it the same Hugh? No, but it's a similar face.
I haven't met Hugh. How is he? I've heard a lot about him.
He's pretty good. He sends his best wishes to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I haven't met him, but I do hope to meet him, and I hear a lot of things.
Yeah, no, same with you and him. He goes on and on about how much he wants to meet Jeremy, and I'm like, okay, Hugh, that's like, it's kind of weird. He says a lot about like how he's listened to everything you've ever like recorded or in, and just thinks that you'll be really good friends and maybe lovers. So, you know, I was like, okay, that's kind of parasocial, so maybe don't.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot, Hugh.
Yeah, it's a lot from Hugh. Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on from Hugh, this is bizarre. Anyway, back to dogs. So this is a fun fact. A couple of fun facts about dogs. Dogs were bred to have expressive eyebrows. I may have said this to you before, Liv, but if you look at wolves and some of the oldest dog breeds, they do not have as much muscularity in terms of being able to move their eyebrows as most dog breeds do. It is thought that we bred them to do this because it makes them cuter to us and makes them more expressive. We like it when things can move their eyebrows because it makes them look more human.
I want the dog to do the face that I do back to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm sure Biscuit at times will give you quizzical looks with his eyebrows or give you sad looks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, all the time. He's always like, what are you doing? And I'm like, ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, no, for sure. That's like,
is that how you talk to Biscuit?
Yeah, to a fair amount. Also, this is an unhinged episode, I'm outing myself and Chloe and saying that, look.
You're announcing Biscuit, that you and your longtime girlfriend are out? You're lesbians?
We've been keeping it a secret for a while, but
historians will say they were great friends.
They were such good friends who lived together and like had the children together and blah, blah, blah.
and wrote a lot of love letters to each other. And
yeah, like bought a house together. It's like wild. but yeah, so Biscuit has a voice. Biscuit speaks to us. Just like, yeah. So it's like, you know, regularly when one of us is talking to him, the other one will be silent and Biscuit talks, and vice versa, you know. So Biscuit is talking, but the other one the other mummy just happens to be quiet. It's not of course the other mummy is not speaking for him. Of course it's him speaking,
of course, you know? The voice seems weirdly localized around the other mummy's location.
Yeah, exactly. Just
like Biscuit throws his voice, so it sounds voice. Yeah,
he thinks he's very funny. One of his favorite things to say is when one of us is eating dinner, and he says, okay, what if you would put a little bit of it into my mouth? What would that? If I could have a little bit of it into my mouth?
Not to swallow, just to hold it.
Just to hold it into my mouth. Just keep it there. Huh? How about that? Well, if I just hold it for you, keep it safe.
Keep it nice and warm.
Nice and warm. In my little puppy mouth. So yeah, no, it's really nice when he speaks to me, and also when he makes expressions at me that are very human.
So people, we talk about dog breeds from around the world. There were numerous dog breeds that existed in the Americas prior to colonialization. They are known as the pre-contact dogs. Unfortunately, most of them have long since died out, mainly due to, like, diseases, and in some cases, interbreeding, because, unfortunately, European dogs brought diseases over as well that that negatively affected the pre-contact American dogs. But a few highlights. There was a breed of dog, I think, up in, I think, around Newfoundland, I think, that was bred for wool.
The Newfoundland dogs?
No, they're different from the Newfoundland. They were a woolly sheepdog. They were like a woolly, they were like a woolly sheepdog with fur that you could shear and use to make clothes out of. Because they didn't have sheep, so they used dogs. An example of a pre-contact dog that is still with us is the Chihuahua, which was originally bred for food.
Yes. Did you tell me this?
Yeah, and I think you and Jasper were both like, what? But they're so small, and it's like, yeah, bite-sized. It's one Chihuahua for a meal.
Jeremy, it's very upsetting. I don't, the poor little babies. No.
I mean, look, that I think that that may even be why they have the personalities they do, because people were like, what does it matter how they act?
How dare you say that about them? They're good little babies. I don't.
Liv. Now, I know that I have not seen a lot of Chihuahuas in the UK, to be fair. I see more in the US than in the UK.
Them.
Have you met many Chihuahuas, Liv?
Yes, I have. All the Chihuahuas I have met have been very, very sweet, and I've let me pet them a bunch. Chloe's family dogs are half Chihuahua, half Jack Russell, and they are very, very sweet babies, and one of them is named Oreo, and me and him have a connection, and when I go over, he just is like, hold me, and then I just hold him for a little while because he's very, very good.
Some of the only dogs that I've noticed consistently seem to like being held.
Yeah, I mean, also Italian greyhounds. They like to sit upon you rather than actually be held, I think.
Mm-hmm. Lots of dogs love to have physical contact and love to lie on top of you. Chihuahuas are some of the only dogs that I've seen ask to be picked up.
Yeah. Oh, no, Biscuit does that for sure. Biscuit wants uppies, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like that this is supposed to be about your fun facts about dogs, but I'm like, Biscuit does this, and I have a stupid little voice for Biscuit to dog to move.
I can tell you right now, these additions are doing nothing but enhancing the soapbox. I also wanted to throw out that along with Chihuahuas, there's actually several other dog breeds that still exist. Mm-hmm. One of them is also I think it was also bred by the Aztecs. It is the Choloinsquintle, or Cholo for short.
Oh, okay.
It's not an easy name to say. It is basically also known as the Mexican hairless. So imagine like a more athletic Chihuahua that was nude and larger.
Shall I type Mexican hairless into?
Yeah, or just Cholo, spelled X-O-L-O. That's the nickname for that breed of dog.
X-O-L-O. Dog. Cholo dog.
Yeah.
Oh, those guys! Yeah, I know those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have like little patches of fur, but they are mostly hairless, and they're very cute.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very stern looking babies. Oh, and then, the first result, he has a little tuft of hair on his head. It's very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very muscular.
Now, both of those dogs, I think, don't retain most of the DNA that they had at the time, like when they were originally bred. But you can see there are like descriptions that the conquistadors left of both of those breeds, where they would be like, oh, yeah, these people like the Aztecs have dogs that they raise. And these are the purposes that they have for them. Now, I have not done enough research to know what like Aztec records or like records left by the indigenous people who helped develop these breeds we have. But the breeds have survived and they're cool. And especially I really like Cholo. Like they're really cool dogs.
Apparently in the dog, the little doggy that's in Coco.
Oh yeah,
it's a Cholo dog.
Yeah. And I think Cholos can come in a variety of sizes. I think you can get them like the big ones. You can get little ones as well.
Oh, little babies. Yeah, I'm seeing some small ones in my search for them. Oh, very very strong, very kind of fearsome looking. So I'd look fearsome.
I'll give them this. They look better than the Chinese hairless.
Oh, I was thinking they do remind me of the Chinese hairless, yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. For me, the Chinese hairless, it's like, what did we do here, folks? Why?
Chloe loves the Chinese hairless. Like, she was like, why don't we get one? And I was like, I cannot do that.
No.
I can't do that. Like, I already called Biscuit a little freak.
yeah. And he is a know? Freak. Let's be honest. He's a little freak.
He's a lovely little freak. I love him so much. But like this, I would be like, you're a little freak.
Yeah. Like, that's like, what happened?
But I will say that the puppy version of the Chinese hairless, oh, that's adorable.
Okay. I'm going to look up a puppy.
Look at the puppy. Oh, it's just like, it's just a puppy with like a few little bits of hair. Oh, it's like a puppy wearing a wig. I know.
Oh, that's
he's just wearing a wig.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little toupee.
A little teeny toupee.
Oh, God.
Okay. I did want to throw out, though, this is the best one, Liv. Oh, this is the best one I've seen. Oh. Wait, I got to open this. I gotta share this. I'm going to just post this in the Three Black Halflings chat.
Okay, cool.
Propers of nothing. But I... This is great. Check the 3BH chat. Ooh,
he looks like a little lion.
Yeah, it's like he's got a mullet.
He has got a mullet. I'm sorry. I know we do this all the time where we will like look at pictures and then not include anyone in the experience.
Look, I'm saving this picture so that I can put it in the show notes when it eventually comes out.
Eventually it'll come out and then you'll see the little mullet lion baby doggo.
It is very absurdly good. Cute.
Very good.
Another dog fact. Dogs, in contrast, and this is different from dogs and wolves, dogs will look where you point. So if you point at something, dogs will look where you pointed. If you point, a wolf will look at your hand. Yes.
What does it mean?
It means that dogs understand human gestures.
Okay.
Like dogs basically have been bred to instinctively understand human gestures and to an extent body language.
Oh, okay. Clever little babies.
Yeah. Another big thing. Dogs will ask humans for help more readily than other animals. Like even if they haven't been thoroughly socialized, they are more instinctively, they can recognize a connection and kinship with humans more so. Another fun fact, petting a dog lowers your blood pressure.
Oh, that's good. No wonder I had a blood pressure check recently and it was pretty good. Doing lots of pets.
Yeah.
Lots of pets.
All that
on the
petting
boy.
A biscuit.
Yeah, he's a good then baby. Again, sometimes he's like, I'm gonna bite you for no reason. I'm like, why?
That sounds like a cat behavior.
Yeah, no, he's very cat like. He loves to lay in the sun, loves to bite me, loves to shit where he wants.
Okay, cats usually have a designated spot.
Not my cat.
Your cats used to ignore the litter box?
So here's an example of, so my cat Bella, who is my, cat at home in Wales, before I was on Dicebreaker, I was like on this little RPG show, in the middle of that, with my camera on, I turned around because I saw Bella in the camera behind me and I was like, what's she doing up on my bed? And then I looked around at her and she looked at me and she was fully shitting on my bed. And she just stared at me. And this was live on camera. And she just stared at me dead in the eye and she knew exactly what she was doing.
That's offensive.
So yeah. She's a naughty, naughty little kitty cat.
Liv, I think your cat's racist. That's a hate crime.
Yeah, no, I think so. She's black too, so I don't know what she's talking about, you know? Like,
she's got that internalized racism.
Exactly, black on black crime. What's she fucking doing?
No.
I know. I love a black cat, though. Black cats are my fave. They're my fave.
Good old void boys.
Yeah. But yeah, anything else you want to tell us about dogs?
I could probably talk for a while longer about dogs, but we've been talking for a while, and I want to give you a chance to hop on your soapbox as well.
It's up to you. I can talk about my soapbox another time. It's entirely up to you.
No. I want to hear, because this is a topic that I'm like, oh, anytime it comes up. So just some background on this. I'll give background once you say what it is. But anytime this topic comes up, I am all ears.
Why wouldn't you be? Because my topic is the TV show Glee. Glee's fucking wild. Okay. Like, I cannot believe that I used to watch this and say, wow, this is good and normal television.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
He used to watch it and be like, yes, a normal television show I am witnessing. So I will say that season one was like, you know,
it's a good show for season one.
Season one, good show.
Yeah. Debuted the same year, by the way, as Community and Modern Family.
Big year.
And
very
of the three...
year.
Glee seemed to have the most acclaimed first season until Community came out with Contemporary American Poultry and Modern Warfare towards the end of those. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of where, like, I think everybody agreed Community had the best individual episodes. Like, Modern Warfare was, it still is one of the best TV show episodes I've ever seen. But that, like, those all debuted at the same time. And Community, I was a big Community fan, and from the outset, Community was taking shots at Glee. And that continued throughout the show's run.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, no, that I particularly remember the episode where, like, Annie was being really weird and singing like she was in Glee, and like it was Christmas time, and it was just like, she was just like, I'm a little babe, and I was like, stop, please stop, for the love of God, stop.
Brain holy understandy Christmas. Yeah. I know. Yeah, I was I'm a big Community fan. I could probably sing that whole song. But yeah, that was where it culminated. That was like the culmination of all of the Glee hate. But like it starts in an early episode. Jeff just says, I hate Glee. And he's like, yeah, I'm not a big fan either. I think it's Pierce who says, I don't particularly care for it either. And Jeff's like, I hate it. And then later that season, during Modern Warfare, they get attacked by the Glee Club. And they take shots at the show for not writing their own original songs and only performing pop songs. And it's like, you're just using pop songs to make your show more popular.
Yeah, and it worked. It definitely worked. So with Glee, I don't even know where to begin. That's how like that. Well, okay, such a big topic.
Maybe what made the show popular at first?
Mm-hmm. It was probably popular at first. I think it was because it was one of the. So I watched it when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. That's when it came out for me, and to me, because it was all about, you know, being a nerd and being yourself and just kind of like, you know, being who you are and not being afraid to be cringe.
And also a lot of like LGBT themes and stuff like that, which you didn't have a lot of teen shows dealing with at the time, right?
No, exactly. A lot of LGBTQ plus themes, people of color were like in the main cast, mm-hmm. which was like, wow, oh my god, genuinely Amber Riley, I was like, oh my god, she like me, what, oh my god,
drastically underused.
I know,
she was the best singer they ever had on that show, like in the main cast.
Yeah, exactly. No, and then like eventually they like take a crack at themselves, where Mercedes says, you know what we're gonna do, you're gonna trot me out at the end and make me do a really long note, and that's what's gonna happen at the end, okay, we know what's gonna happen. It's like, yeah, Mercedes, girl, they did you wrong, you know.
There was a lot too. They did an episode called Paradigms of Human Memory, mm-hmm. where every single, it was basically a flashback episode where every single flashback was to something that had never happened on the show. And one of them was they found the Glee Club trophy and they're like, oh, hey, remember when we filled in for the Glee Club? And it cuts to Annie and Troy singing, but they're just singing the word, they're sing-a-ling-a-ling-ling ding dong, sing-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling ding dong. And but it's like you have the nerdy girl and the jock doing a duet, mm-hmm. And then suddenly mm-hmm. Yvette Nicole Brown's Shirley comes in with a big black woman who's the best singer on the show, comes in and starts singing, like just giving us some vocal fireworks. Exactly. And then it cuts and you see the rest of the group, including Pierce, who for that season had been in a wheelchair. So you even have a dude in a wheelchair sitting over by the side. You have the one piano guy somehow producing way more music than you should be able to produce from just a piano.
Oh, it's too real. By the way, Artie, who was confined to a wheelchair in the show, was played by an actor who could walk, which was very upsetting.
Look, it's really good that they were doing, like, they had a disabled character, but come on.
Yes. But just hire a disabled person.
The actress who played the character with Down syndrome also had Down syndrome.
Yes, exactly. And I think they did add a character who was in, I think she was only there for like a few guest spots later on, and she was also confined to a wheelchair. Mm. Confined might not be the right word, but yes, it was also used a wheelchair. If you don't know anything about Glee, it's basically a show about high schoolers in America, in which it's a standard, like, pre-millennial, I guess-ish kind of high school setting where, like, the nerds are the nerds and the jocks are the jocks.
Mm-hmm. In Ohio,
and there's no intermingling. Hmm?
In Ohio. A high school in Ohio, and I can't remember what city. Let me see.
It's called McKinley High, I think, the school. There's like a Glee Club, and you have Will Schuster, who is a Spanish teacher.
Jeremy's just Lima! It's in Lima, Ohio! Yeah, I've been to Lima.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, also called Lima, but I think it's pronounced Lima.
Lima, yeah. Okay, they call it Lima.
Okay,
lot,
maybe it's actually called Lima. I've heard. Okay. I'm sure I've heard someone say Lima at some point.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, probably. Will Schuster wants to put together a Glee Club because he was in the Glee Club when he was in high school, and it was like one of the best times of his life. But his wife doesn't want him to do that because she wants money. And she wants him to get like a job that he doesn't enjoy so that he can.
Oh, so she wants him to leave education, basically.
Yeah, she does. Okay. Yeah, she does.
Because teachers are drastically underpaid.
So underpaid, unbelievably underpaid. It's genuinely a travesty. We give the population, the children, all the children to the teachers during the day, mm-hmm. and then they look after them and they don't get the money. I don't understand. It's stupid. But yes.
Yep.
So yeah, so his wife wants him to do something more profitable. Also in the show, you've got Rachel Berry, who is the kind of main protagonist, along with like
yeah, it's her and Will Finn, basically, right?
Will?
Will Schuster.
Finn.
Her and Will Schuster are like Will the two are kind of like the two closest things to protagonists, followed by Finn, played by Corey Monteith. That was anyway.
Yes.
I was trying to jump in and be like, yeah, she's the protagonist, and also sort of Will because he's also sort of the protagonist.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think those three, I think, are the kind of mains. Rachel is insufferable. She's very, very talented, but she knows it. And she is like, I'm going to be on Broadway. I'm going to be a star, and like. She's good, but she knows it and she's terrible about it. And she's also infatuated with Finn, played by Corey Monteith, who is a jock and he loves to sing, but he doesn't want his fellow football bros to know about it because that's going to get him bullied.
Because High School Musical was popular a few years prior to this.
Yeah. Yeah. High School Musical was indeed popular. Yeah. So that's the premise, and then you have like the Glee Club, which is full of people who are like who have their own kind of storylines going on, and are really interesting in their own right. Kurt was also a really big a really big character, mm-hmm. who was like one of the only like gay kids in school.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like an early gay, but like a gay icon, mm-hmm. of that era, I think.
Yeah,
in some ways,
for sure, like a big name, like. In the LGBT plus space, I would say. Mm. Him and Mercedes were kind of like a duo. I feel like they kind of veered away from them as a duo later on in the seasons, which was a shame for me. Because
it seemed
like
once Blaine showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blaine, aka Darren Criss, showed up. And then, all about boyfriend times, which was also good. Yeah, they go to the Glee Club and they sing, but also they sing it like in other places in the world. It's like, it's a musical. It's a musical world.
That's,
it's not like they're aware.
It's like stylistically, it's part musical and then part like a show about a group of singers.
Yes, exactly. It's a very weird combination. It's not like it, like in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, for example, you know that all of the songs are going on in Rebecca's head.
Right. It's non-diegetic music. Like, they're non-diegetic musical numbers that we're watching. Whereas in Glee, all of the musical numbers are meant to be diegetic, but they'll still have fully choreographed productions.
Mm-hmm.
But they apparently threw this together in an hour with, like, full band and music at in, like, random locations sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they play this off as like a dream sequence, but a lot of the time it just kind of happens. it's very strange. So there are a lot of compilations of like unhinged Glee moments on TikTok, which are very, very fun.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and think of a few of them and go through a few of them. I should say that the context as well is that we've all realized later on, looking back in retrospectively, at Glee, that Will Schuster is a bad man.
Yes. And the show itself, man. Honestly, some of it was good, but like,
a lot of it was very, not great. I don't know why this is the one I start with, but like, his wife is looking after him and trying to like convince him, that he should, you know, get a good job. And she's feeding him soup. And he says, "Thanks, Terry. Baby likes his soup." And I, so that's a fun one. Another thing that Will Schuster did. Another thing that Will Schuster did was when his fellow, his co-worker was going to get married to another co-worker, number one, well, stole her away, basically.
Is her name Jenna, or is the actress's name
Emma? Yeah, and her name was like Jama. Her name's Jama.
Jama Mays.
But her character's name is Emma.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Glee. and then their first dance song for the previous couple was going to be the thong song. So Will sings the thong song to Emma. It's just dancing around like and it's just like ruffling her dress, and it's just like weird.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's really bad. If you haven't seen these clips, I highly recommend you going to take a look. Another thing that Will did is to protest. No, yeah, Sue was like, you. So basically, Sue was the protagonist, and we had no idea. So Sue was like, hey, stop
the Jane Lynch
having your
right?
kids. Jane Lynch, yeah. Yes, exactly. Sue was like, stop letting your kids twerk. They are, don't do that. We don't want that happening. And then Will and the children in supposed to be in this show roam the halls and was singing Blurred Lines.
We're
just singing Blurred Lines. Few
songs have aged as poorly as that. And honestly, it debuted poorly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I have something I wanted to throw out just as like,
yes, go for it.
So a plot line, first of all, that has always struck me as ridiculous is, I believe this is in the first season. There is a plot where Corey Monteith's character, Finn, and then Diana Agron's character, whose name
I knew you were going to talk about this.
Are like making out in a hot tub. And he gets a little too excited. And then she has a pregnancy scare.
Yeah.
No actual intercourse has taken place. But because he had, quote, an accident, that's not a quote, but an accident, putting the air quotes, in the hot tub, she then maybe could have gotten pregnant from that?
She says to him, like, the hot tub's the perfect temperature for sperm. And he's like, oh my God.
What is happening?
When quite obviously she has slept with someone else and she has tricked him into thinking that he's the dad because she thinks he's a better option to be the dad than this other person.
Right. So she's also a terrible person.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. God. Okay. There's also... Where do I even know? They did a what does the fox say parody thing with puppets, which was genuinely horrific to see. Oh, okay. So also here's a thing that they did that I think they genuinely should not have done and was really insensitive and gross. So they did an episode about, trigger warning, a school shooting.
In Glee. What? Okay, there's a number of topics that Glee can cover, I feel like. Well,
yes.
School shootings is not one of them.
No, exactly. And so to clarify, it wasn't actually like somebody had found a gun, a bang went off, and then everyone was like, oh my God, and then it was a lockdown. But there was no actual person, you know, doing that. So it was just basically like a chance for all of them to be very upset and be like, oh no, what if I... You know, and like trying to ring their parents, and it was genuinely horrific. And I skipped it. I skipped it for a long time, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch this thing. It's fucking awful. It's awful to see. Why would you put that in there? I don't understand.
So
I don't understand. Very unnecessary. Like, we already have. There's already enough going on. Yes. Yeah, so that was a thing. They do things that they just really shouldn't. They really shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Back onto the funny stuff. Because
I actually have my thing with Glee that I wanted to throw out is they seemed to do very good specifically the songs themselves, the versions of pop songs, like the pop genre, quote unquote, that they did, I think were generally very good.
Yeah.
I think the personnel they had on the show
Agreed.
Were very equipped to handle that kind of material. Where I started to have an issue with the show, at least as far as the songs go, is when they started to tackle rock, and when they started to tackle like anything black. Because sure, if you give it to Mercedes, Amber Riley's going to tear it up. She's going to do a great job, But they just didn't have the vocal firepower to handle most rock songs. Like AC/DC, I'm pretty sure they did at least one AC/DC cover on that show. Like that's not a song that's not a band they should ever touch. Didn't they do like You Shook Me All Night Long or something like that at some point? Maybe I'm way off. Or Highway to Hell. Didn't they do like a Glee version of Highway to Hell?
Well, they did Aerosmith's Dream On.
That was actually good.
You enjoyed that one?
Yeah. I thought that was actually good.
Okay.
I thought.
I mean, it did have.
Yeah. Yeah. They did do Highway to Hell, which is insane. Highway to Hell, for those who are not familiar, it's an AC/DC song. One of their one of the most famous songs the band ever did. Probably one of the most famous songs with their original lead singer, Bon Scott, who died tragically in advance of the recording of the album Back in Black, which was a tribute to him, which their new singer, lead singer, Brian Johnson. But both dudes known for having very like aggressive, sort of like raspy, powerful vocals. It felt like they would neuter all of the rock songs they covered.
They couldn't do justice to them for sure.
And
yeah, like they had powerful singers, but they just didn't really utilize them, you know.
And not in that like genre, Mercedes. Maybe.
Yes, exactly. I will say as well that like Glee was one of my first exposures to like a lesbian couple.
Oh,
like,
yeah, Santana and Quinn, is it?
And
no, Quinn's Diana Agnew's character.
Yes, Santana and Brittany.
Yeah.
Were like the first, like, yeah, Brittany is bi or pan, I believe, and Santana is gay. And that to me, like, I remember the time that they slipped that in was literally just like they were all talking on the phone and Santana was like, sex doesn't mean dating. And then Brittany was like, if it did, then Santana and I would be dating. And then everyone just stops like, okay. And then we carry on. Like, it's like they were like, let's not talk about that. That was like the first time I was like, oh, wow, look at these two, like just there's two women being together. It was genuinely one of my first time seeing that and being like, oh, is this okay? That's nice.
And that ended up being like one of the biggest couples on the show, right?
Yeah, it did they end up together? I think maybe they did. I think they maybe got married at the end.
Oh, nice.
I think so, yeah. Unless I'm just like making this up because I wanted that to be the case, also, Kurt can smash out a Broadway number.
Very
and
true.
It's like it's nothing, and it's fantastic. He did Rose's Turn. He did Mr. Cellophane. He actually did Mr. Cellophane as like his very first like thing we saw him sing as like an audition, but then went back and actually performed it properly, and it was fantastic. Seeing him Defying Gravity, exactly. Yeah, was fantastic. So there are moments in Glee that I'm like, damn, this is good. And I want to show it to Chloe because I'm like, you have to experience this. Yeah. Oh, another Will thing that I've just remembered. So Will wants Finn to join the Glee Club. And Finn is like, no, I don't want to join the Glee Club. I'll get beaten up, which is fair enough. Because, you know, the social hierarchy.
And they get slushies thrown on them a lot.
They get slushies thrown on quite a lot. Yes. That is the main form of, well, you know, kind of bullying. Will's like, how do I get this kid to join Glee Club? He's a very, very good singer. Which, by the way, he finds out by like looking at him while he's showering.
Yeah, he's watching him shower.
Yeah, he's just watching him shower, and it's awful. Like, and then he starts plotting like, how can I get this kid to join Glee Club? He's very good. So what he does is Will Schuster buys some marijuana and plants it in this young boy's locker.
This is
and
horrific.
Then says, oh, hey, I don't want to have to go to the principal about this. You should, look, if you join Glee Club, then we'll call it even. And I won't tell anyone about this. And then he even tries to be like, I'll pee in a cup. I didn't, it's not mine. And he's like, oh, it wouldn't matter at this point. You know, it's fine. And Finn, look, we've already discussed the hot tub thing. Mm-hmm. Finn's a little bit of a dumbo. So he doesn't know that this is not cool. Yeah. He's terrible.
That is horrific. Weirdly, for how much I seem to know about the show, I've only seen like two or three episodes in their entirety and a number of clips. Mm-hmm. I know that I've seen the touch me that they did in that show.
Yeah.
And Will Schuster, veins bulging, wearing just a tie, leaning over the camera in a...
Just a tie?
Yeah, just a tie and collar, leaning over the camera in just... Well, that's all you see. I think he was wearing pants out of frame. But all we see is him leaning over the camera and, like, he's topless with, like, a tie.
Creature of the night. Look,
yeah. And his face, like, haunts my dreams to this day. Him saying creature of the night. Ugh.
Yeah, it's terrible. Also, he played the Grinch in the Grinch musical.
Yes!
If you haven't seen the Grinch musical, you should.
Matthew Morrison.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, dear.
Also, Lea Michele seems to be just a genuinely very mean person.
Lea Michele is very bad, allegedly. I saw a recent interview with Amber Riley where I need to look up what show this was, but it was very, very funny. And they were like, hey, what if like a coworker of yours was very racist? What about that, huh? And then Amber was just like, I can't talk about that.
Oh.
I can't talk about that. And they were like, it was very, very good. But yeah, very funny. There's so much going on in Glee. We haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah.
That's the level of wild that Glee is. Mm-hmm. It was a formative experience for me. I'm glad we all went through it, kind of. There was also, I'm trying to think of like the start. Oh yeah. Oh, also in another baby scandal that the Glee loved baby scandals.
Oh, no.
So yeah, Terry, who is Will's wife and was like feeding baby his soup, was like, oh, I gotta make Will stay with me. I know he's pulling away. I gotta make him stay. She finds out, yeah, gotta give him more soup, baby, more soup. She finds out that Quinn is pregnant and says, I'll take your baby when it's born. I'm going to trick Will into thinking that this is our baby.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to wear a baby bump and trick this man into thinking that this is his baby and not tell him that this is not his baby. I know, Jeremy. So...
This was a comedy.
So, yeah.
This was like a dramatic comedy show.
It's wild. And then he finds out. He goes ballistic.
Yeah. Did he sing about it?
Yeah. No, he didn't. I think that would have been funnier, but no, he didn't.
He should have sang Bet on It. From High School Musical 2.
Yeah. Oh god. So then that's the whole thing.
That's horrific.
Rachel's mum. Yeah.
This seems like this seems like a lot of because I know that this was like I was not somebody who spent tons and tons of time on like Tumblr. I barely went on the website, but I knew numerous people who did. This seems like a lot of something that people look back on and are a lot of like, especially queer people, look back on and are like, wow, that was a big formative experience for me. But looking back on it, what was happening?
It shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I should have had more
options.
I wish
it wasn't kind of. Than this. Yeah. Why was this the only thing available to me? Very much so. There are some really good parts about it. There are some terrible, terrible things about it. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of like cameos from like Broadway stars, mm-hmm. like Rachel's mum, biological mum, is Idina Menzel, mm-hmm. which is really cool. Neil Patrick Harris, exactly, singing Dream On with Will. Mm-hmm. Rachel and Idina Menzel have like the most weirdly scored poker face cover sing poker song face. That is
poker face yeah. is about wait the song mm-hmm. poker face is about a yeah. woman having sex with a man while thinking about somebody else, possibly another yep, yep, woman
yep. Yep.
And the idea is that the man she's having mm-hmm. sex with doesn't know it because she has yep. such a good poker face.
She's a good
why
good
would you
face.
Have a mother yep. and daughter sing it?
But it's like weird. They've made it really weirdly sentimental. So what? They're just both singing.
How do they do the bluffing with my muffin part?
it's kind of like they're like, can't read my, no, you can't read my poker face, and they're like smiling at each other.
She got me like nobody.
Like,
what is this? Does Will Schuster just lean into frame for those parts? And you're like, she got me like nobody.
They don't include the she got me like nobody line, unfortunately. it's all so wild. I'd love to just go through and like watch all of Glee and commentate it because it's just
yeah
so wild. They have a scene where they're all diving into the pool and Artie throws himself into the pool, wheelchair and all.
Why does he do that?
I don't know. Okay. God, what else? Sue Sylvester is the best part of the show.
Right.
She's fantastic. She has this like monologue that I'm going to see if I can remember. She walks up to Will, who has wronged her. And she says something like, I'm going to buy you a kitty cat. I'm going to let you fall in love with that kitty cat. And then one cold, dark, stormy night, I'm going to steal away into your home and punch you in the face.
That's great.
Yeah. I every time I think about that, I like die a little bit because it's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. So I will stop going on about Glee now because we've gone on quite a while with all of our nonsense stuff.
I could honestly, but we could have talked about both of these topics for much longer.
We really could yeah. have, yes.
I am, as I said, I am all ears. Because Glee is such a yeah. fascinating case to me of like a show that meant mm-hmm. so much to so many people. But mm-hmm. I, from the beginning, thought it was terrible. And it wasn't. A lot of it actually was legitimately good, as you say. But mm-hmm. like, it is just, it's a subject of such fascination to me. For how meaningful it was and how much people have had to reconsider the show since then.
Yeah, I would love to, if I have the time, I would love to make a retrospective on Glee as a fan, mm-hmm. like looking back at it like that and seeing it now for what it actually is. One more thing that I will mention is that there was a spin-off show of Glee called The Glee Project, in which they would search for, there was a reality show, they would search for new characters for the show. And they basically, this really winds me up, is that they basically made people bare their soul in order to be like, why would you be good for Glee? What could you bring to Glee?
They do like a chorus
and
line.
And then, the
musical, a chorus line where like everybody's auditioning for this show that they're desperate to get. And the guy running the auditions forces them all to like bare their souls in front of him and the rest of the auditioners.
I did not know that's what a chorus line was about, but yeah, pretty much, yeah.
A chorus line's a great musical, but it's a messed up situation.
That is what the Glee Project is. They all have to bear their soul, and like they literally, there's like one episode where they have to walk around with the thing that they're most like. I don't want to say ashamed.
Oh, self-conscious
of the thing
of?
That makes them. Yeah, self-conscious of. Yeah, exactly. And they make this girl. Eventually, she comes out with like. she has to write that she has an eating disorder on there. Oh, no. And she's wearing a placard with an eating disorder, and everyone's walking around and fucking singing along to Mad World.
Oh, no.
Jeremy. And it's like, what?
I mean, that sounds like
what
a plot that
doing?
You would have seen on Glee, to be honest.
No, it exactly. It definitely does. But like, yeah, that was wild.
I so can imagine everyone, the. Then, I can. I'm hearing the song in my head right now. Like the Glee cast singing the song, and I have the music video in my head. And then Mercedes comes in, like at the end, as she always does. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Another instance in particular, there was this girl. I cannot remember her name, but she was biracial. She is biracial. And so she was. They were like, "Oh, what could you bring to blah blah blah?" And she was like, "Actually, I have a lot of insecurity about being biracial because I feel like I'm from two worlds and neither of them accept me." And blah blah blah. They didn't give her the role, but they used that exact plot line. Yeah.
Like on the show?
Just used that plot line on the show, on the main show.
What?
Just took that. They just took it. Shook
Ryan
it.
Ryan Murphy.
And they didn't.
What are you doing here,
buddy? Yeah. It was honestly so gross. I could go on and on about this, but gosh. Glee and the Glee Project, wild times in television.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Wow.
I'm stepping down from the soapbox now. Thank you, everyone.
That was tremendous. That was tremendous. I hope you all enjoyed listening to us soapbox about that. And we'll probably bring this back at some point. People really loved hearing you talk about Twilight. So hopefully they enjoy our soapboxes about dogs and Glee.
I hope so. The Glog episode. Yeah.
The Glog episode. There you go. There's the title.
Yay.
Liv, where can people find you if they want to hear you glog it up?
You can. That's literally what my life is. You can find me over on Twitter at Does Dark Magic. You can find me at Olivia Does Dark Magic everywhere else, pretty much. If you want to hear more tabletop-y stuff, I say more. This was not tabletop, but still. If you want to see more from me, you can check out youtube.com/dicebreaker. I've mentioned it before. The full series of Storybreakers is out now. It's the actual play that show that we do. We play fantasy journalists, and there's a lot going on. It's really cool. Also, youtube.com/threeblackhalflings. Subscribe, please.
Thank you. Yay! Woohoo! Yeah, and you can find me on Twitter at JeremyCobb1, Cobb2Beast1. You can find me on Instagram at TheCobbmeister. At some point, I will post something else on there. Yeah. I have a few videos up there now, though, and they're cool. You can also follow this show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at 3 Black Halflings. You can follow us if you like what you hear and want to hear more of this. Go support us on Patreon. It's good stuff. Patreon.com/TBHalflings.
I feel like we need to set up like some kind of like goal or something. If we hit a certain number of subscribers, I will like make a video on Glee, a retrospective.
Yes.
And then I will post it like on the Patreon first and then put it like on my own stuff.
Yeah. So we currently have, what is it, 500? We need to like have actually, we've hit 500 and lost 500. If we can push solidly past 500, then we will begin work on the Anunitarum like mini source book. But also, we need to set one for Liv's Glee video.
Yeah.
That'll be amazing.
I'll do it. I'll absolutely
I want to watch 100%. It. Please go contribute to the Patreon so that I can watch this.
Yeah. We'll set a little goal on there.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
And please, I also have another show, a whole other show that you should go listen to called The Quantum Reactor, that I do with Andrew Koons, who's a friend of this show. We talk about sci-fi movies. It's a sci-fi movie review podcast. We've started having guests on. We just recently released an episode with Connie. Connie came on and talked with us about Everything Everywhere All at Once. We just dropped a Looper episode. We got episodes about Moon. We got episodes about we got two episodes about Everything Everywhere All at Once. We have The Terminator. We have episodes that we've already recorded for The Fifth Element, for AI, artificial intelligence. The party never ends. And we also have a Discord. Mm-hmm. So go follow us on Twitter at @QReactorShow. Go listen to The Quantum Reactor and go join our Discord where we got discussions about movies and about shows and all sorts of sci-fi goodness. All right, that's it. Thank you. So long, Shia folk.
Thank you. So long, Shia folk. I'm walking here. I'm podcasting here, Shia folk. I'm going.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.